The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. The 21st century has introduced new norms and resources that are of immense value to businesses and their bottom line. Yet in business, we require relevance and innovation, not just more information. We need the true stories of what works and what does not work. Our program today will tell you what you need to know. The experiences, perspectives, and resources shared by Jen and her guests will make all the difference for you and your business moving forward. Now, here's your host, Jen Sabin.
Hello and welcome. Welcome, everyone, to today's episode of Moving Forward. We have an extraordinary show. It's interesting how we can create a business, start a business, run a business, grow a business. Maybe you've run multiple businesses. You've built several successful ventures, and you're engaged in a current enterprise, and everything's going well. It's all going stellar on all fronts except one. You're challenged to find the right team. Now, it's interesting that in a lot of the pop culture shows that we see on TV, which, you know, go into businesses and do some turnarounds or, you know, from some vantage point are supporting the business owners in growing or even in saving their business. Like they're actually at a point where they've got to close their doors if they don't do something about it. A very, very key piece. Of course, there's the product, you know, or the service that you're providing. There's those core pieces. But one of the key components that you can't take out of the equation is the team. Team is more of a contemporary word, are the employees, the staff, the coworkers. And it is so important to have a good team, a great team, a stellar team. But for many business owners, really what they'd settle for is a good team. And good employees. And there are certainly some commonly understood standards as to what that means, you know. And it goes beyond showing up on time, having the skills to do the job, or at least being provided with the resources and tools and skills and being able to utilize them, learn them, execute. You know, there are so many different levels of this. But where do we find these people? You know, there's a backdrop right now of an economic climate where people are looking for jobs. And at the same time, you would be amazed at how many people I speak with who are looking for people to hire. And somehow there's a disconnect there. So, you know, what do we do with this? Now, if you're listening and you're looking around and you're shaking your head saying, I have that same challenge, or you're shaking your head saying, you know, I had that. I went through that. You know, we had a guest on, Joe Blackwell Preston, who talked a bit about some of the procedures she has in terms of hiring. And in her industry, which is the hairdressing industry, and Joe has built a multi-million dollar empire and, you know, has been knighted and won an Emmy for a PSA person, a service announcement with Elmo. She talked about some of the unique things she does where the average employee retention in her organization is 10 years in an industry where there's really high turnover in a very short period of time. And a few of the things she did was, one, she made sure she hired happy people. Think about it. Happy people. The other was that she made sure they did their due diligence, that they knew that they wanted to be there, they understood what was out there. The other thing that she did was she had someone who was a potential hiree, employee, team member, again, whatever language you want to use, spend 3 days on the floor at one of her salons, at Dop Dop in downtown Manhattan, spend 3 days there so that she could see how they fit in. There's an interesting dynamic. I know one colleague of mine only interviews people in groups. Think about that for a moment. Only interviews people in groups. There's a traditional dynamic of interviewing people, you know, one at a time. When you interview people in groups, you get to see how they behave in a way that they wouldn't behave if they were solo. For example, there was an interview and one of the potential applicants for the position was fantastic in terms of conversation, verbal skills, questions, answers, etc. And then while somebody else was speaking, this individual started texting. They never would have done that in a one-on-one interview. So the advantage of group interviews is that you could interview people and then from there choose who you're going to interview individually. Now, this might not be appropriate for all different levels of an organization or for your business, but think about it. What a great way to find out who one wants to be there, how people act in group dynamics, and then you can invest your individual time. So rather than interviewing 15 people and the time and scheduling that could be, you may find yourself actually interviewing 4. What an opportunity cost that is. Now, these are just some thoughts and ideas and suggestions in terms of what approaches people have taken. Why I'm mentioning that is one of the things we're going to be chatting today is, you know, finding and building a good team. When you have a business that's doing stellar, you got to be kind of looking around like, what's going on here? Today, we have a very special guest. And this is a guest who we've been fortunate to have before on the program. It's Chrissy Benoit, restaurateur extraordinaire. For those of you who remember Chrissy, she was really with Wolfgang Puck in the early days, literally talking to him every night when they were building the organization. And from the very beginning of the Wolfgang Puck Cafe concept. And over the years, Chrissy has really grown and become a star in that industry, from heading up training and services, involved in the service standards for historic Keneal Bay, which many of you may be familiar with, which is a 4-star resort on St. John, to the work she did with the famous Inukquag. Chrissy today is noted by those who just kind of know her in her current status as owning the Production Kitchen, the Adventurous Palette Catering, and the Little House. However, some of you may recall Chrissy from one of her fantastic chapters where she built out Havana Hideout, which was a kind of a quirky kitchen, delicious food place with this incredible atmosphere that was actually featured on Food Network's Diners, Drive-In, and Dives. You know, Chrissy is just this incredibly resourceful, brilliant restaurateur who knows her stuff, who's good with people, and has this track record of success. As a matter of fact, the Little House, which I've eaten at, which is phenomenal in Boynton Beach, Florida, is really a model project with a CRA, with the CRA of Boynton Beach. We are just so fortunate on so many levels to have with us today Chrissy Benoit. Chrissy, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, we're delighted to have you. So I mentioned in the beginning this concept of team and staff, et cetera, and you are someone who is for sure a savvy businesswoman, for sure has been involved in training and development of teams across the board, you know, and really the industry and places where you've cultivated some great, great talent. we're going to talk about that, but first of all, let's just talk about the Little House.
Okay.
What's happening there? How is it doing as a restaurant?
You know, it's doing great. I'm experiencing some interesting stuff that we were chatting about earlier, but as it stands, I couldn't be happier with how the project came out. I couldn't be happier with the way it's being received by the community. And it's a very happy place to work. It looks good. It feels good. It's manageable in size. So on that respect, it's going great. Lots of great reviews. It's already winning some awards. We've been open for 6 months. So everything that I think most restaurateurs really want to have happen are happening there, which is wonderful.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned you've won some awards. What are the awards that the Little House, a.k.a. you, and you know, your team have won?
Well, we just, we've been open not quite 6 months, and we just won the Critics' Choice for Best Restaurant Renovation, and that's for the Palm Beach Post. And then we won the Best Sips of 2012, and that was for one of our signature sangrias. It's a watermelon lychee sangria. And I was really, really honored by that because it's just a simple, wonderful drink recipe. And it was, there were three reporters and they picked three of their favorites. So nine drinks were awarded that distinction in Palm Beach County and we got one of them. So very happy about it.
That's a watermelon lychee. That sounds really delicious.
It is really refreshing.
And, you know, to win an award for a cocktail beverage in South Florida, you know, is as a demographic, there's a lot of competition. So
there's a lot of competition. And, you know, it kind of made me think about, you know, some of the shows you watch where you've got, you know, chefs that are throwing 19 ingredients on a plate. Then the person that gets a Michelin star is the guy that has five. because it's not a complicated recipe. And sometimes, you know, that's what works.
Yeah. Actually, that's one of the themes that you often see is the ability to make to simplicity work.
Yes.
You could do a lot of really, and this is no way to diminish those who are very good at creams and sauces, but mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to have something taste that, you know, to have the fish or whatever it may be, the core ingredients really taste true to their taste, to elevate their taste without having to cover it in something.
Right. You don't have to disguise anything because you're using great, you know, swank produce or you're using amazing fish and it's just simple and delicious. And I'm a fan of that. It's a lot less work that way too.
I could imagine. A little less, was it mise en place? Is that the?
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Chrissy about some of the challenges that are happening and what resources Chrissy is using to deal with those challenges in, as you're hearing, a new restaurant that is a success on all fronts. Let's hear what's going on behind the scenes after this break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Everybody needs expert advice when they look to develop their personal brand. Join Rasheryl McCrary for The Leader and the Muse. Rasheryl and her guests will bring you practical tips and tools to help you build your brand in ways that propel you into greater personal and business success. For strategies, stories, and much more, tune in to the Voice America Business Channel every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time for The Leader and the Muse. And get ready to take your brand to the next level.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, welcome back everyone. This is Moving Forward. I'm Jen Sabin and we're very fortunate today to have Chrissy Benoit, restaurateur and owner of The Little House, a restaurant in Boynton Beach, Florida that has met with reviews, great positive reviews in the first 6 months of it opening, and it's just I've been there myself, an extraordinary restaurant. And Chrissy has an incredible track record career-wise as a restaurateur in terms of successful restaurants. Before we chat with Chrissy, there's something I want to point out, and this was something, Chrissy, last time you were here we talked about, and that is when you open a restaurant, you're running at a loss. Like, there are service professionals where there might be low overhead and, you know, in terms of establishing your business. When there's a lot of investment that goes into a restaurant before you open your doors. So the stakes are pretty high. And there's a couple of key components that make for a successful restaurant, you know, whether it's location, view, food, then environment. One of the key pieces that can make or break a restaurant, too, is the staff, is the team. What's the appropriate word, staff or team? I don't know.
Yeah, team. Either one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think it's always a team effort, so team is probably better.
Yeah, so what do you do? You've got a really strong background in building talent for many very, very successful one-time restaurants, now empires, you know, such as Wolfgang Puck and other places. How do you find the team? How does someone find the team for a restaurant or any kind of, location that involves a retail space? You know, a physical space.
Right. You know, there's so many different approaches to that. But, you know, I think for me, at a certain level, it's you meet with a lot of people, and occasionally some of those people stand out. And then you take those people that stand out and you give them a shot. And, you know, you definitely have to have patience, because there have been people that I've worked with that on their first interview were so horrible that I took the opportunity to tell them that they were totally unprepared to interview, and if they really wanted the job, we could start over from scratch tomorrow if they wanted to show up. And then those people decided to really move on to great stuff and really became inspired. So it was just, and they needed that. And then there are some people that just step up right from the giddy up because they're in a place where they are looking for that opportunity and they can recognize the opportunity. So it seems to me that it's really a matter of, you know, it definitely tends to be a bit of a people mill. You go through a lot of different people, and then occasionally some of those people just sparkle in very different ways. And then you grab onto that and you polish this one up one way and you polish someone up another way. But at the end of the day, the goal is to make them all shine, whatever way they're going to shine. So there is no one particular formula that I've found.
You know, it's interesting, too, and this goes back in some ways to what Joe was talking about. You're not just looking for people in terms of transactional for a job, you're really looking to grow people and cultivate them in terms yeah. of professionally. You know, yeah. I'm very much about context, right? You know, that vignette where the guy's chiseling the rock and someone walks by him and says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm chiseling a rock." And another person walks by and, you know, it's to another guy chiseling a rock, same action, same activity, and says, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a cathedral."
I love
right?
that.
So, you know, context is so powerful. Yeah. And, you know, many people, and this is where that due diligence piece that Joe was talking about comes in, because to understand who you are and what you're about for your team and your staff slash your kind of family, you know, not that mm-hmm. you're having Thanksgiving dinner together, but they're, in terms of like, you know, that commitment to one another.
Yeah.
And I know I just made a presumption about what family looks like. And, you know, my family definition is kind of, you know, mutual love and respect.
Yeah.
So, you know, love being appropriate in a business context. Did I just go off on a major tangent there?
No, so, I know exactly what you're saying. I feel that way about my staff. It's not, they're not just doing a job and I'm doing a job. We have to connect.
Yeah. And
you have to go out on that limb a little bit. And there's a lot of people that refuse to because they've kind of quote unquote had their heart broken, but you can't, you have to keep connecting because when you find the right people, I think it's important that you do connect to grow. So you gotta love them, you know?
What you just said too, and is so telling that, you know, somebody comes in and is floundering to be able to give real, authentic, you know, you're not ready for this, and if this is something you want, I'll be here tomorrow, is truly, truly demonstrates that you are a champion of people.
Yeah.
Like, you really are.
And thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, it's telling. It's very telling. And so there's an opportunity here for someone to create a career. What I've always found interesting is that there are certain industries, and if you can get a mastery of it, then you will never be without the ability to make money.
Mm-hmm.
You just won't.
Yeah.
And being a good server is that. Yeah. I remember when I graduated university, I went to University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, and my family came in for the graduation, and we went to a very, very nice, one of the top restaurants, not just in Philadelphia, but in the country as a celebratory thing. And the waiter was so obnoxious that and condescending and that it made it a really unpleasant experience. It actually, you know, to this day, I remember that. Like, that's one of the things that I remember. And it's unfortunate.
Wow.
So it's certainly, you know, and the food was exquisite, the venue was exquisite, but that experience. So this is such a key piece for a restaurant. And as a restaurateur, to be able to monitor and manage that dynamic, the dynamic between the team and with the staff. But there's also another piece, and that is turnover.
Yeah.
So as a restaurateur, you're managing all these moving pieces. How do you handle that piece? That's a big question. Should I chunk it? I mean, that's pretty big. That's like,
you know, that's such a great question because I don't know that there's, and by way of having a difficult time answering, because I don't think I could give you a statement or an answer that would be the correct answer for all the dynamics. And I think that the key for me anyways is you take it as it comes, you get very good at multitasking, and you build in lots and lots and lots of fail-safes. And when, unfortunately, you utilize those fail-safes over and over again, it does teach you a lot of restaurant efficiency, which is the real bonus. But like, I'll give you a for example. You know, after we opened, I had a kitchen crew and I gave them multiple opportunities to do the right thing by the food and the right thing by the guests, and they were just not capable of doing that. And I finally, after a month and a half, I had to let every one of them go because it was going to damage our initial opening reputation. And, you know, we brought in new people and nobody could make it past 30 days with showing up on time and follow through and reliability. And finally, I said to my two managers, I said, okay, here's the deal. You guys need to know this menu as well as I do. So we are not beholden to this group of people right now because we can't get them stabilized. What ended up happening from that is, Jade and Connie both know how to execute that menu as well as I do. And it made them more confident managers. And it made them able to swim themselves to shore when they need to. So that the nice benefit to that was it empowered them. And it allowed us more time to start looking for the right people. But it's, a lot of restaurants, that's not always, you can't always do that. You know, Little House is small, hence the name. Mm-hmm. And it's manageable. But, some of the other restaurants I managed were, 350 seats. The kitchen staff was 30 people. So, that's all I can say is I try to build a solid weed out program in the beginning. I try to build an encouraging training program. I try to build an inspiring environment that people want to be a part of if they're looking for inspiration. And I try to build a polite environment. And then from there, I just am ready if, one of my famous sayings is whenever we talk about stuff, I always say, okay, if Chrissy drives off a bridge, how are we going to handle this? Or Jade, if you drive off a bridge today, how am I going to access that email? Because we all have to have an attitude of, I use drive off a bridge as a joke, but if you disappear or you fall off the face of the earth or you quit without notice, how do we keep functioning? How does the business not lean on one particular person?
Okay. Yeah, maybe an example where you have an inspired moment and decide to run off with someone to an island for a week and are unreachable versus the driving off the bridge.
Right. Exactly.
But this is so key. And we're actually opening up another conversation in terms of if you weren't in your business and if some key people weren't there, does anyone else, as you said, kind of know where the key is, have the combination to the safe, so to speak? Is anyone able to step in and have that job done at the same, if not close to, the level that person was doing? Not diminishing that person's skill, ability, talent, expertise in that area, but in terms of an execution process, they understand the process. They understand the process and the knowledge that's required. When we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about that and then, talk about fail safes and in terms of that ability for people to execute. And then we're going to circle back again to a bit more about team and the challenge for some businesses in terms of, hourly team, like the team that's the hourly employee that might be looking at it more transactionally for some, that it's a side job, especially in the restaurant industry versus a career. When we come back, we're going to explore these topics with Chrissy Benoit. Thanks.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
If you currently or aspire to serve on a board or work in a leadership capacity for or with a public or nonprofit organization, where can you turn to get the best advice and practices? How about Leadership Matters with Dr. G? Our program discusses challenges facing both public and nonprofit leaders. Don't miss these practical solutions and tips to enhance your leadership style and effectiveness. Leadership Matters with Dr. G airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel or listen on demand to our archived shows.
Are you and your family in debt? Today, over 40% of American households are spending more than they make. And that means our society is getting deeper and deeper in debt. Escape the Debt Trap with host and attorney Kenneth Neely is here to help you avoid the problems involved with debt, including rebuilding credit, filing bankruptcy, short selling your home, resolving IRS tax problems, and much more. Escape the Debt Trap airs live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. We're very fortunate to be here with Chrissy Benoit, and we're discussing how to cultivate a team. It was interesting. During the break, Chrissy and I were talking for a moment, and you said something, Chrissy, that I want to take a liberty to share with everyone, and that is that this matters to you and you take it seriously, and in many instances, restaurants, you know, interact with the servers there, the wait staff, waiters and waitresses, and other members of the team as kind of hourly transitional employees. Like, it's a transient dynamic versus the opportunity for a career where there can be some really, really nice money. And once you have a mastery of it, you can pretty much go anywhere and do well, right? You know, that there's always an opportunity, and that certainly certain establishments are always looking and interested and keen for people who are quality at that.
Yeah.
And you pointed to something that when some people meet you, or when you're interviewing with some people, there's an incongruity because they're so used to kind of the dehumanization of this and this kind of being something that's an execution-oriented position rather than how you see it as an opportunity to really cultivate a profession at this that could be very lucrative.
Yes. I think, you know, what's lost out there, and sometimes I seem like I'm a little over the top with people because I take this profession very seriously, and, you know, a lot of servers that have worked for me, hospitality people, they earn more than most people with bachelor's degrees, and they're working less than 40 hours a week, and they can go anywhere and do anything, and when you're really good at this job, you can give yourself a raise anytime you decide to. You just sell more. You're better at it, and, you know, I think it's stuck in this phase where it's not considered a quote unquote real job, and it's what you do while you're deciding what to do, even though you make tremendous money at it. And, you know, the definition of hospitality is putting others' needs ahead of your own. And I just think if the next time you go into a restaurant and you sit down and you go, is this server, is this restaurant, are they putting my needs ahead of their own? Because I'm here for some hospitality. And unfortunately, I don't think it happens that often, and I think it's perpetuating its own difficulties. If I treat my staff like they're a dime a dozen, and they're just going to disappoint me at some point, well, guess what? That's how they're going to react, because nothing's expected of them. But if I can take somebody and I can groom them and I can teach them certain tricks and I watch them go to a table and they double their check average and their guests love them and they get a humongous tip and then they come to me with this look on their face like, wow, it's a really, really great feeling. And it's a win-win. You know, they're more in love with their job and they've had a better experience doing it. And then obviously that always translates to the business.
Mm. It, there's something interesting. Today on the I'm not sure if it was just on the online, but in the small business section of the New York Times, in the You're the Boss, The Art of Running a Small Business, it's 100 Things Restaurant Staffers Should Never Do, Part 1 and Part 2. I think this one is the first 50. And that we were going to be chatting today, I glanced through it. And it was interesting to see what you're speaking of is what they're talking about there. You know,
really?
How, and it's really worth looking at.
Oh, I gotta look at that. I didn't see it.
Yeah, and for anyone, it's online on the, I guess the New York Times. For anyone who runs a restaurant, who owns a restaurant, or if you're in something where you have a team or for yourself that deals with clients, even if you're not in the restaurant industry, some of what they mention in there is really prudent to raise your awareness. For example, one of the things they had was, would you like bottled water or just tap water? Like the use of the word just rather than remaining neutral.
Absolutely.
You know, and all these things that when you look at them, some of them you would choose to do or not choose to do, but what a great experience. They talked about when someone orders wine and they really like it, to steam the label off, to get the label off or to write it down for them so that they could take it with them. I remember at the Capitol Grill, I really enjoyed a glass of wine, and the server that night wrote down that bottle of wine and another one that was that if I was available to purchase, interested in purchasing through a, you know, at a store that had a similar taste and was at a lower price point.
And
I never forgot, I'm telling you right now, I never forgot that. And I did go out and get that, and it's been something I've given as a gift to people. But I've never forgotten that, and I've also shared that in talking about. But, you know, so it really does make a difference in terms of a customer. I'm calling it a customer. You're calling them a guest. Just even that language is indicative of how you view your restaurant, the experience. So this is something that you put out there. So there are people who aren't going to want that. They're looking to moonlight. They're looking at this as that transactional piece. So, you know, what's the numbers game to find those people?
You know, I have some people that, you know, have their full-time jobs and for various reasons want to, you know, have some extra money, have some extra this. And that's okay, because that really depends on the person. And at that point, it comes down to their level of professionalism as opposed to their passion. And if they've got a great level of professionalism, they're going to do a great job no matter where they work, because they can't do anything less. That's who they are. And, you know, I have one gal that works for me named Suze, and she has a full-time gig at Panache Party Rental. She, like, helps them run the show there full-time. She works at the little house on the side, but she has such a polished level of professionalism, and she's such a natural salesperson and hospitality person that she takes it seriously because that's just who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's somebody that is like, I just want a little, you know, I get this all the time, people, I love this, hey, if you ever need somebody, you know, on the side, just give me a call and I'll come down. And that never works, because to them it's, I'll take time out of my day and then I'll walk home with money in my pocket. I have no desire to learn about what you're doing or understand the computer or know what we're selling. I'll come in and be a warm body. And that, unfortunately, I think is what too many people in this industry do. I can't tell you how many times I've been out and I'll ask the waitress, well, what do you think of this dish, or what's your favorite, or is this yummy? And they're like, I don't know, I haven't tried it. I can't imagine selling something that I'm expecting you to put in your body and not having a clue what I'm doing.
Well, you know, what you're speaking of is you're looking at it as they're selling something. What others may be considering, and I don't know, I'm not standing in their shoes, but it makes sense given what you say, is that it's more of taking orders versus being part of the process in that way. Like, they're not the ambassador of the menu, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, like, that, absolutely. So you're part of the whole thing. Like, you're giving them your intentions. You're allowing them to relax into their experience. And we've all been in situations where you're trying to, like, you know, catch up with a girlfriend or you're having a family meal and one person's tea has been empty for 20 minutes and everybody's rubbernecking and nobody, and all of a sudden the conversation comes to a halt. Everybody gets nervous that that person's going to finally get frustrated and have their meal done. Everybody's stopping. Everybody's trying to flag down the server. I mean, we have all been there. So to discount the level of necessity in the experience that the server has, when you have a good server, it is like night and day.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Like you said, they are your ambassador. They are, you just get to enjoy yourself. The food, you can trust their judgment. You know your stuff's going to be taken care of. It's a whole different ballgame.
Now, there's something I want to point to. Is it the server's responsibility or is it the owner or manager's responsibility to ensure that the servers, now, there are people who are proactive, but is it a missing in part of the structure that those who are there have not tasted everything on the menu?
I think that's for me, you know, in the Little House world, you know, it obviously starts from whoever's paying the bills. Because, you know, the people that work with me and help me make this happen, you know, they have to respect the financial. So if I say to them, you know, no, we can't feed everybody, blah, blah, blah. If I take that short-sighted approach, they're going to follow my lead. My attitude is one of, I want people to know everything inside and out. I want them to have an opinion. I want them to go to that table and tell them that they will lose sleep tonight if they don't try the cobbler dessert because it's that good. Like, I want them to have that experience. So it's the onus is on me to open the door to empowering the managers to train the staff accordingly. And the nice thing about that investment is then the onus is squarely on the staff member to then, there's no excuses, you know.
Right.
They are well educated. So then it comes down to how much they want to apply that information or not apply it. And, you know, we really require that they apply it.
You know, there's an opportunity here for all our listeners. We're going to take a break in a moment. Yet I want to highlight this. It's really valuable. You are talking about the business of a restaurant and how you've so beautifully managed to weave a tapestry together in terms of the kind of the qualitative, the experience of working in a restaurant and never taking an eye off of the business of the restaurant, a business being the sale or purchase of goods and services with an attempt to make a profit. A business, you create or buy something at X and you sell it at X plus Y. And so you're being responsible for the business and you're also being responsible for not just the business of what you do, but what you do as well and how you're speaking about this. Really, really valuable lesson. So for anyone out there who's has a restaurant or a business and you haven't been able to work on the business, just in the business, what Chrissy's talking about is a fabulous example of the two. We're going to come back after this break and we're going to be speaking more with Chrissy Benoit.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Is your business model robust enough? In today's ever-changing business environment, people are working to transform themselves, their futures, and their business. Tune in to Business Reinvention with your host, Nancy Lynn. To stay ahead of the game in business, you have to constantly reinvent yourself and your organization. With Nancy's experience and that of her guest experts, you'll learn from stories of inspiration, innovation, and forward thinking. Listen for Business Reinvention live every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
What if you were able to make extra money in your free time? Okay, we hear that all the time. But High Yield is all about finding investment strategies that have proven results. Your hosts, Frank Rolfe and Dave Reynolds, will bring you the insider tips that will help create double-digit yields and give you the quality of life you want, despite a troubled economy. Just keep your mind open and listen every week for High Yield with Frank and Dave, Fridays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Leadership is a vital skill set in today's competitive global economy. Being a leader is not enough. To succeed, you must optimize your performance and know how to imbue others in your organization with leadership skills. Practical, actionable leadership insights are the focus of Leadership Development News, hosted each Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, by Kathy Greenberg and Relly Nadler on the Voice America Business Channel. Doctors Greenberg and Nadler, who coach global leaders on how to be most effective, will share their insights and contacts. The path to leadership excellence begins here.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here today with Chris Benoit and, outstanding restaurateur, incredible track record, from Havana Hideout to, the Little House to her work at the Cottage and her earlier work at Keneal Bay and, also with Wolfgang Puck in the early days and the growth and iteration, the growth and expansion of his work from the cafe to the empire, I'll call it. Chrissy, we were talking before about the different distinctions of involved in terms of somebody who's professional and working part-time to the person who's kind of transactional. And I know you have in place at the restaurant, from what you've shared with me, is really a training program. And as people get better trained, there's certainly increased potential for more money. There's something else that we were talking about that I want to highlight, and that is references. You know, and how do you find out? There's your gut, there's intuition, there's what people say and what people do, and I think that's one of the values of that group interview process that I mentioned before when you put people in a group. Yet, you know, there's what's somebody's style. You know, you've given people the opportunity to come back the next day if you recognize that if they're serious, you know, they're obviously right now not prepared, they're you know, maybe not even taking it seriously. If they are serious, come back. You know,
right.
You know, get your head in the game, make the commitment. Yet, you know, in many ways, and I've hired people for my company, and, you know, we've had a great team, and there's been some mistakes that have been made in terms of who somebody said they were and how I experienced them and who they actually showed up as. One of the things that I've always looked at in terms of references is almost a presumption that they're all going to be good. Like, mm-hmm. it's important, and is it just part of the process, or are they really valuable? How do you look at referrals or references?
You know, it sounds horrible, but I don't give them much attention, because unfortunately in this industry, because so many people are folks that run the restaurants are just, it's, no one's taking people seriously anymore. Even though these people are making $60,000 a year, no one's taking them seriously. So when I see their references, I don't give it much, you know, much attention. But what I do is when I interview people, and I have an interview format that's designed to, you know, not just let me ask you questions and give me answers, but some of the questions are designed to see how they handle the question, not necessarily what they answer. So, you know, you kind of have to play around with their polite behavior. You know, if you can imagine, I always wonder, can I imagine them saying please and thank you? How do they show up to the interview? What are they wearing? Are they smoking? Did they make an appointment? Did they come 5 minutes early? What's their longevity? I try to look at all those cues. How vague are they on their resume? And then it's really, it's a trial and error at that point. You know, you have 90 days with my place to start at one level where we focus on one level of training in the kitchen. Then you get an increase. And then, you know, the next level takes everything you've mastered in that level and we add something else. And then, you know, and then the third phase. And at that point, if you're a rock star and you love your job and you're making my life easier, I'm gonna accommodate you and compensate you. Because you're part of the team. You're part of what's making it successful.
So really, 90 days from, you know, welcome aboard to really at that place where it's a different level of investment in them, you know.
Yeah.
And that's reasonable. That's fair for someone. I mean, most organizations, if you go to some of the major mid-sized, small, even some of the corporations, not so much with certain ones, depending on the rules, but you don't even get, it's 30 days before you vest into healthcare. At least that's how it used to be. I don't know how the current legislation has impacted that. But, you know, you need to be with us for 30 days in order to be involved in certain of the benefits. So there, it's not unusual. And this whole time, what I'm hearing from you is you've really created this staggered system where people are incentivized and rewarded. So there's an acknowledgement piece there. And both in terms of growth, in terms of who they are as a person, and in terms of monetary compensation. So yep. it there's cause and effect, which is what's fascinating. And what you've mentioned all along is the critical thinking that you have done, the executive thinking that your business has a business model. You know, one of the things that so many of the firms that I work with, when I walk in, they, if when people leave, they have nothing in place.
Right.
That, you know, and it's not just the transactional piece of what that person does. It's all the knowledge. It's where is this found? It's what were the, you know, that human capital piece. But separate from that is you can hand it off to someone.
Yeah,
you could, and it's the opportunity to create more bandwidth. So what would be the next venture? What's the next enterprise? So that you're not limiting yourself as well. This is your bandwidth.
Yeah,
as a businesswoman, as a human being.
Yeah, as a human being, as an inspired business person, like a lot of us are out there. You know, at some point, you give so much of yourself to what you do. I mean, what I do, every part of my personality is in every color, every light fixture, every, you know, chair design in that restaurant. And then every menu item, it comes from my heart. So when I'm talking to these people, I'm not saying, hey, go sell a Motorola radio. If there's a level of commitment that I have to my stuff that I want them to have, but then there's also got to be you got to have the right people, because at some point you can't give that much passion to something without being able to take a break and without being able to take your eye off the ball. You know, at some point I have to take my eye off the ball and know that these wonderful people that work with me have got my back, just like I've got theirs, you know?
You know, one of the things I say to clients is there's if you had a say, there's if they had a say, and then there's what the restaurant would say. And
yeah.
The restaurant always trumps. That's a bridge term, everyone. It means the restaurant wins. Like, what would the restaurant, what would the restaurant's opinion be of this or view, separate from Chrissy, separate from the staffs? And it sounds like that you're always managing those two pieces, that you actually have given the restaurant kind of a voice. And that.
Absolutely. A statement I make all the time when we talk about sales and driving sales and spending money, I said, you know, this is what the baby eats. this baby needs to eat this much every month. And we gotta feed it. The baby wants to eat it, we gotta feed it. We just gotta manage it.
Right, and we all know that, you know, new mamas don't get sleep typically for the first couple of years, which I can attest to. Making sure your tanks are full is so key, because otherwise your patience is shortened, you're missing out on opportunities, and you're not able to create the next venture or have the choice. Have the choice. You know, that's where so many entrepreneurs, business owners find themselves confined to something and not having the ability to expand and grow, whether it's in the same industry sector or in others or in other ventures or opportunities. You know, Chrissy, this has been just an extraordinary conversation and really valuable. And I want to thank you so much for really giving our listeners so much, not just authenticity, but the real deal of what it is to be successful on one hand and also dealing with the now today challenges of what it takes to have a restaurant and a gem, not just a restaurant, but a gem of a restaurant.
Thank you. I mean, I hope that, you know, some people can hear this and maybe get, like we were saying, re-inspired and think back to why they got into this business and kind of dig in again, you know,
yeah.
Make it fun.
It is fun, you know, it is. And also one of the main points that I, you know, created this show with the producers is that you're not alone. You know, whatever your challenge is, you're not alone. It's not the first time that's ever happened, and it's not unique to you. And sometimes when you hear about it, all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I can turn this around. I can deal with this. I'll get to the other side, whether I go over, under, through, around, or just use the door. Everyone, Chrissy, thank you so much. Chrissy, if people want to see you, meet you, the restaurant, what's some contact information?
The restaurant is The Little House BB for Boynton Beach. At yahoo.com. Otherwise, it's right on Ocean Avenue in Boynton Beach, 480 East Ocean Avenue. And I really hope people come in and chat with us.
Okay, fantastic. Chrissy, thank you so much. For our listeners, a great 2013, the best year yet. And make this year, this week, not just this year, this week, a moving forward week. Take care, everyone.
Thank you again for tuning in to Moving Forward. Please join Jen Saban again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Make your week a Moving Forward week.